Shame loves secrecy. The most dangerous thing to do after a shaming experience is hide or bury our story. When we bury our story, the shame metastasizes. Brené Brown. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Women Over 40, where we elevate our mindset and trade hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson, and I'm really excited and nervous. Gals, I'm nervous today because it's story time. Today's Friday, and it's the first day of a new series here in Snippet Land that we're calling Radical Reinvention, and it's all about our stories. Our stories. I introduced this idea last Friday. We all have stories. We do. And they shape us. They make us who we are. And we've got them there buried. We do things with them. We try to drink them away. They affect everything about our lives. And when we're trying to build the best chapter of our lives and we have unfinished stories, stories that we haven't worked with, that we haven't reinvented, that we haven't looked at, that we're trying to just pretend they never happened. In other words, when we're trying to bury them, like Brené Brown says, when we bury our story, the shame metastasizes. Gals, it's time to tell our stories. So as I mentioned last Friday, for those of you who weren't around, I have a memoir that I published a few years back. It's on Amazon. You do not have to go out and buy it. We are not studying the book, but I am going to read 8 stories from my book here over the next 8 Fridays. I've chosen 8 out of 13 stories, not for any particular reason. It just seemed like 8 was enough. And one thing I want you to know about my memoir, it is not chronological. I do not start when I'm younger and move through linear time. It hops all over the place. And I'm going to present my stories that way here as well. I'm not reading them in any particular order. The purpose of this, gals, is to help you look at your own stories and see the power behind facing our stories and working with them. So at the end of each story, at the end of each episode, each Friday, I'm going to give you a journal prompt and encouragement and a little exercise, a little homework that you can do so you can work with your own stories. I'm going to also share with you how each particular story helped me to grow into the person I am now, how I overcame whatever shame came with it or other emotions, and how I reworked it. Because honestly, some of these stories in my past were keeping me buried in shame and self-loathing. We can't have that, gals. We really can't. So one more time, here's Brené Brown's quote. I love this quote. Let's look at it again. She says, "Shame loves secrecy. The most dangerous thing to do after a shaming experience is hide or bury our story. When we bury our story, the shame metastasizes." Thank you, Ms. Brown. Okay, gals, here is the first story in our new series, Radical Reinvention. The Family Business. In my early 20s, I found myself in a hotel room where a stag party was happening. I was one of only 2 women present. We were the entertainment that night. The room was full of young men celebrating the upcoming wedding of one of them, and they'd called a local escort service to get a couple of those women to come to the hotel and offer up entertainment. We were expected to dance, tease, you know, entertain. And that's exactly what I did. The hotel suite had 2 rooms, and the second one was a space for any of the men who wanted something extra and were willing to pay for it. I found myself in that room 4 times that night. I'd come back out, dance around for a while, then get led back into the separate room by a different young man, and so it went into the wee hours. As the night progressed, I struggled to keep my drinking under control because it would be dangerous to lose my wits. But I'd done this before and knew how to look after myself. Besides, me and the other woman there had a protector outside waiting in the parking lot whose job it was to make sure we came out safely by 2 a.m. If we didn't, he would come and knock on the door. There were no cell phones then, but we all had pagers that we could call as long as we had access to a phone. All was well. That night, I made $2,700 and spent time one-on-one with 4 men while entertaining the whole group in between. The woman with me made about the same. Her name was Jessica on nights like this, but her real name, for me, was Mom. And the man in the parking lot was Stepdad. My mom was a businesswoman. She opened gentlemen's escorts, and I worked for her now and then when I was in town. At the time of this party, she was 46 and I was 21. We made a pretty good team. Gentlemen's Escorts was a thriving business, and my mom was a serious businesswoman. She kept strict books and had developed standard operating procedures along the way. She was a tough-minded woman who took control of anyone and anything around her. Her husband, who had been my stepdad since I was 10, followed along with her. He knew he couldn't stop her from doing anything once she made up her mind to do it. In her early 40s, she made up her mind. She had worked her whole life for barely more than minimum wage. She was uneducated, suffered from undiagnosed and untreated emotional and mental disorders her whole life, but didn't realize it or wouldn't acknowledge it. She was a survivor of the highest sort. When she got an idea, nothing would stop her from making it happen. So, at 41, she decided it was time to get a tidy retirement fund together, and to hell with society, to hell with working for others, to hell with what others thought. She put an ad in the paper inviting men to call. And she wasn't about to put up with violence or abuse of any kind. She called her business Gentlemen's for a reason. In the beginning, at the time of this party, she took a lot of calls that she would later say no to. But at this point, she was still building the business. Her business model was clear. Establish a stable of customers that were married professionals and serve them regularly over time. At this time, I was living in a different city and had established myself in the world of exotic dancing. And when I went to visit, the inevitable happened. I went on some calls for my mom's business because when the call was from a young man, she knew they would likely be disappointed to have a 40-plus woman show up. At first, she objected to me working for her, but she knew I was working anyway, and since I was usually broke, she let me go on a few calls. So, in the early years, I worked for her now and then, but it didn't take long for her plan to materialize. She got her 10 to 12 regulars and shut down the ads. This group of mature, professional family men, who did not know each other, of course, were sufficient for her to build a retirement nest egg. Each one had a schedule. Some saw her every couple of weeks, others once a month. And, of course, relationships were formed. My mom became a listener. The sex was secondary and sometimes not what they wanted or needed. They talked about things they knew would go nowhere else. They were safe with her and she treated them like kings for an hour or two and they went away feeling refreshed, heard, and ready to face their lives again. One of the men was a local celebrity, another a professor, there was a logger, a banker, and so on. Most of them were family men. All were respectful and treated my mom like a dear friend. At least one left everything in his estate to my mom. I was able to get to a point in my mid-30s of feeling acceptance and respect for my mom after spending my teens and 20s in resentment. I was somehow gifted the ability to let these go and build a relationship with her before she died. I had been searching for a way to a better life. I had taken some meditation classes, read some spiritual books, and enough had rubbed off that I was able to reframe my relationship with her and my past, even though I'd never heard the term reframe. I reasoned, she did not know how to parent children. How could she? No one ever taught her about acceptance or forgiveness, which are two of the keys to my freedom today. I accept the past. I forgive myself and others. She never learned. She took her resentments, her sadness, her fears, her judgment, and her broken heart to her grave. But she had bigger balls than a lot of men I've known, and I loved her dearly all the days of her life. But that's another story. Well, gals, that's the first story in our series, Radical Reinvention, The Family Business. I gotta tell you, it was a little hard for me to read that. Like I say, the book is out there. It's not like it's a big secret. But sharing it with you here in Snippet Land, it felt pretty emotional. And that means I can totally relate to how you feel about visiting your story, your hard stories, right? And I'm going to be sharing others with you in the coming weeks. Some are less jarring. Some I'm younger. Some I'm older. But we're going to go through these. So let's talk about the power behind this story and why I chose to not only write it, but also share it with you. Well, as I said in the story, my mom was difficult. And one of the biggest takeaways that I've learned from sharing my stories is the ability to separate myself from the woman I was back then. So I want to make clear a couple of things before we move any farther, gals. I'm not saying to you that I think you should publish your story out into the world or even share it with anyone. The whole purpose of this series is to encourage you to look at your stories. We have events from the past that we really don't want to think about. And because of that, they stay alive. They haunt us. They pick at us. They poke at us. I never thought about that night in the hotel room until the day I wrote that story. It was just an event, something that happened. I didn't go into it. You know, I tried to bury it. I'm not proud of it, right? And I frankly wasn't proud of my mother at the time. I did grow, as I said in the story, to have a lot of compassion and forgiveness for her. But the events in that story still even shock me to this day. And that's what I want to give you from this story. The fact that whatever you've done in the past is not you. You are not the same human today that you were then. And so this Becca, I'm 60 years old. It's 2026. I'm helping women get sober. I have this beautiful, amazing life, this journey that I'm on. I am not the same woman who at 26 was in that hotel room with her mother. I'm literally not the same woman. But I'm older, I'm more mature, and I can give her compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. And when I wrote that story afterwards, that is exactly what I did. I was able to say to her, you did the best you could with what you knew how to do, and able to come to not only forgiveness and compassion for myself, but for my mother. I could, as I say, I could never, ever take the actions that she took or my mother took today. I am not the same person. And so you have events from your past. You have events that you're ashamed of, but you're not the same woman. And as long as you keep pushing them away and trying to hide them in the background, they feel like they're you. They're not you. And so I want to encourage you during this series to start thinking about writing down your stories. Just pick one event from your past. It doesn't have to be hugely traumatic. And just write the story out as though you're telling it like I did to somebody else. Write it out. Memories will come back. You'll remember details that you had thought you had forgotten. It's going to be emotional in all likelihood. Be ready for that. Make sure you keep yourself safe. If you start feeling overly emotional, I don't want anyone spiraling into anxiety. If it feels like too much, choose a lighter story. Please only do what you feel capable of doing at this stage of the game. Don't choose something overwhelming. But if there's pick something light enough that you can just write it out, sit there and look at it from your point of view today, because whenever that story took place, it was not today, right? So you are older, wiser than the woman who took those actions. And that's one of the biggest reframes we get from doing this. We realize I'm not her. And I can have compassion and forgiveness for her. And I can tell her that. You know, at the end of the story, you can even write, wow, that must have been really hard for you. Good for you for surviving it. And that is a hint of the journal prompts that I've got for you. Okay, so if you're planning to follow along in the Radical Reinvention series, I've created a worksheet to help you work through today's exercise. You can grab it along with all my other guides and resources inside the Snippetland Resource Library. Just go to the link in the show notes and enter your email, and I'll send you the whole collection straight to your inbox. Now, grab your journal, take a breath, and start writing your story. And next Friday, I'll share another story, one that taught me something surprising about shame and forgiveness. And trust me, I did not understand the lesson until many years later. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.